There's a verse we like to read before Derek comes each week, and that is Luke 11:28. Let's read that together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
You can turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, this morning we'll look at verse 53 from that chapter all the way into Luke chapter 12 and verse 3. As we continue our study through the Gospel of Luke, this morning I want you to see and beware of the hidden horrors of hypocrisy. To beware of the hidden horrors of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is so subtle. Hypocrisy is so dangerous. I guess there were some things going on inside of the mountain that you couldn't see initially. There was some heat. There was some fire. There were some flames. There was something going on beneath the surface that you couldn't see there for a while. And now, a puff of smoke. But maybe you figured it out by now. This is not just any mountain. This is a volcanic mountain. And eventually, after the smoke, will come the lava. You can see it here. Now, the first image we saw, a mountain, snow-capped, beautiful. First sign, puff of smoke. And eventually, hot, molten lava that will reap destruction on the mountainside and on everything else down below in the valley. Jesus is addressing the hearts of the Pharisees and the lawyers and the scribes in this passage that we're going to look at this morning. And we've seen it the last 2 weeks that Jesus is not just content with the surface level, that what you can see always with the naked eye. No, he gets to the heart of who we are and what we've done and what's going on beneath the surface. And so with that in mind, I want to challenge you. Maybe you're not a Pharisee, maybe you're not a scribe, maybe you're not a lawyer. But what I know for sure about you, even as I know this about myself, there are some things going on in your life and heart that no one else can see. And I want you to be honest about that before God today, to be transparent about that before God today. And maybe even before others, especially if your sin has been against them. There's freedom in being real, in being honest, in assessing your own personal life and your own heart, and letting Jesus shine his light there in the places that you don't want anybody else to know about. The good thing about that, church, the good thing about that, friends, is that it will actually prepare you for eternity. What you don't want to do is go through life without ever assessing what's beneath the surface. And so this morning, we have the privilege of contemplating what is going on underneath. And so would you stand with me as we read the wonderful words of our God, the wonderful words of Jesus? And even as we read them, let me encourage you to ponder them, to reflect on them, to let these words sink in and soak in. Don't let them just go past. Luke chapter 11, verse 53. As Jesus went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something that he might say. Chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Would you pray with me? Father, expose the darkness. Expose in a way that only you can, Holy Spirit, the hidden things, the whispers, the secrets of the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And in exposing us, reveal to us more of your glory, Jesus, more of your cross, more of your resurrection, more of the hope that we can have in you, more of what it means to be forgiven by you, more of what it means to know you. Oh God, penetrate our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Remember from weeks past, he's talking with this Pharisee who's invited him over for dinner. And they're not just this Pharisee, there's others who are there, and there's lawyers as well. Another name for lawyers you see in the text today is scribes. And so now it's time for him to leave. He goes away. And yet, these scribes, these Pharisees, they're trying to pray. Molecules begin to expand and it heats up much faster. And boy, in a pressure cooker, y'all know this, right? The ladies know this probably even better. In a pressure cooker, you better not just pop that lid off. Don't you just go to that pressure cooker like, oh, it looks like it's done. If you do, you'll get burned, right? The pressure cooker enables you to just ease it off just a little bit at a time. Because if you ease it off, some of that heat can get out. And then you can eat that good meal that was made for you, right? That good meal. And so what a pressure cooker does is it makes things hotter. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees were doing to Jesus. They were trying to put hard pressure on him. And most people cave under hard pressure. Let's be honest. Anybody in here never caved under pressure? Anybody in here? Maybe other than Eddie, other than David, anybody else? Never pressure, never caved under pressure. No, we all have, haven't we? We've all caved under pressure. Now, will Jesus cave under pressure? We saw in Luke chapter 4, he already spent 40 days and 40 nights under the pressure of Satan, under the pressure of the devil, and he didn't cave. Do you think these scribes and Pharisees are going to cause him to cave? What, are they going to push him? You going to push him in the corner? Oh, we caught you in what you said. Now look, it doesn't matter what he says. They're going to try to find something to catch him up in his words. That's what they were doing. They wanted to catch him up in his words. Being a public figure, whatever that public position is, in fact, the more public it is, the more difficult it is. Can you imagine waking up every day and coming out of your house and the reporters waiting there with microphones? I mean like 50 reporters in your face. Oh, what do you think about this event? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? And every word will be analyzed. Now, some people, some reporters might analyze and report things faithfully and accurately. Others have motives and intentions and purposes. Especially if they don't like this person, this athlete, this political official, this religious official, this pastor, if they don't like them and they have motives and intentions and they want this person out of office or out of whatever, then they're gonna try to take words and phrases and little things and spin them or say them and say, well, look, did you see what he said here? You see what he said here? It happens all the time. This is what they were trying to do to Jesus. I heard this last week. I read an article in USA Today of some of the telephone scams that are going on today. You know, you'll get a call at home. Ring, I guess, on your cell phone now, and you look at the numbers like, where is that from? Albuquerque? New Mexico? Hello? Hey, Mr. Thomas, how are you? Good. I read in the newspaper this week that some of these calls that they'll make to you, if they can get you to say yes, they'll record the yes so that if it ever gets into a court of law, they can play, hey, Mr. Thomas told us yes. But they'll get me to say yes in a context that's outside of what they're really asking for. And they'll already have your information down sometimes, credit card information, personal stuff. And if they can get a yes and they can record it and they can play that yes back, well, Mr. Thomas told us yes. And so, Mr. Thomas, yes. Would it be okay for us to charge to your account a package that Mr. Brian Cook, who's a part of your church, he's got a package that's coming through UPS. Could we charge that to your account? Well, Brian didn't talk to me about this. No, he talked to us, and so... let me do this. Let me call Mr. Brian. They hung up on me. This is what they do, right, when you start. So I call Brian, and I said, Brian, did they? No? Okay. Well, later on, let's say they charge my account. And let's say they play the recording to the defense attorney, to the accuser. Look, Mr. Thomas said yes. Look, yes. This is what they're doing to Jesus, okay? They're pressuring him. They're pressing him to catch him in his words, which makes you wonder, right? How careful should you be with your words? Most people aren't very careful with their words. How careful should you be about everything you say? Everything you say. Everything you text. Everything you post on Facebook. Post on any form of social media. Every email you type, everything. Be careful with your words. Ultimately, right, our words come from our hearts. And so really, it's not just let me be careful what I say. It's let me deal with the underlying issues in my heart that keep showing up on paper, in text, in relationship with others. Because the surface is just the outside. What's going on beneath is what needs to be addressed. Don't you see that? We're going deeper than Sunday school here. You ready? Jesus! Bethlehem! Some of you may fall asleep, but we're going deeper this morning. You ready? You know why we're going deeper? Because Jesus goes deeper. And Sunday school ought to go deeper, and small group ought to go deeper too. Because it's not just affirmation of intellectual and cognitive ideas. It's your heart. And so we got to go deeper. The crowds, the multitudes, they're flocking to Jesus. It says there's thousands. Really, the word in the Greek means there's tens of thousands. Tens of thousands of people flocking to him, chapter 12, verse 1. And they're all there, mesmerized by these miracles, mesmerized by his teaching, and yet, most of them not fully given over. In fact, they're trampling on each other. Did you catch it? Which shows that, I mean, this is kind of a mob-type group. Now, within this mob, there are some sincere, genuine followers of Jesus, but most of them aren't. Most of them, we've talked about this in weeks past, right? Most of them are infatuated with the signs and wonders. The purpose of the signs and wonders was to point to the message. And ultimately the messenger, Jesus. Some people just want signs and wonders for the sake of signs and wonders. They don't want God. Signs and wonders show that Jesus is God. The signs and wonders show that his teaching is true and you need to embrace the truth. But still, they're there. And so Jesus doesn't address the crowd initially. Did you catch it? It says he spoke first to his disciples, to those who were sincere learners, students, followers, who wanted to not just hear what he said, who wanted to live it out. And so he speaks to them and he says first this, listen, beware. You ever been walking in a neighborhood and you saw a big sign, and on that sign it was written in orange, beware of dog. And you think, well, I don't know. And you peer over the fence, and it's 4 or 5 pit bulls. I don't think I'll go in that yard. Beware. When Jesus says beware, you and I better listen. Because this beware is not just for the scribes and Pharisees. Notice, it's for his disciples. Beware. You ready? Beware of what, Jesus? Hypocrisy. Well, what is hypocrisy? I don't know what that is. Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, what is leaven? Leaven is, well, it's very, really small thing. It's a fungus. Maybe this helps. This is leaven. Leaven is this powder substance here. And what happens is when you take these small little particles, this substance, and you put it in a batch of dough, even like a small little, just a little bit of leaven, it's similar to yeast, though not exactly like yeast. They wouldn't have had yeast in the first century, but similar to yeast. They would have put it in a ball of dough. And no matter how big a ball of dough, that leaven will eventually multiply rapidly and spread throughout the entire dough ball to where, of course, the bread will rise. But unleavened bread is bread that's flat, that doesn't rise. Leavened bread is bread that expands. And so Jesus says, beware of leaven, or the leaven, of the Pharisees. These religious, very pretty outside. I mean, they know how to play. They really do, which is why it's so deceptive. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, I'm going to connect this for you in a minute, but what is hypocrisy? Well, the Greek word for hypocrisy here could be translated the actor, the acting. And let me just tell you what the Pharisees could do. They would have won a number of these awards in their day. I mean, they would have won some of these awards in their day. The Academy Awards, the Oscars, for best actor or best supporting role. You know why? Because they had the religious game down pat. And so many do. You just wear the right clothes, say the right things, make the right smile at the right time. I don't know, wear the right cologne. Have you some, you know, incense? And woo, that guy looks really spiritual. Well, I am. I have incense. Have the right book in your hand. Whatever your context is. I mean, in America, it happens to be, generally speaking, Christianity. And you can play Christianity like you can play basketball. You can play the role. Of course, if you're in a Muslim country, you wouldn't play it that way. You would play religion through Islam. If you're in a Hindu type context, you can play Hinduism. You can play Buddhism. You can play a lot of things. And boy, we got a lot of players. And the scribes and Pharisees and the lawyers, they could win the award. They knew what to do. They had it under, here's the key word, you ready? They had it under control. They had it under control, which is really what they wanted, right? And Jesus was taking that away from them. And for them, it wasn't really about the control of God, the sovereignty of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the word of God, the Christ of God. No, it was about their words, their ideas, their way, their life, their truth, which is really not truth at all. Their kingdom, their facilities, their name, their people, their ideas. That's what it's about. It always is. Oh, but they can play the part. And they play the part. Why? Let us introduce to you Mr. I'm just making up a name. If it's your name, it's not. Mr. Joe Schwarzkopf. Mr. Joe, you've won the Academy Award this year. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. How did you win it? Well, I'm just good like that. Oh, the crowd erupts. He's just good like that. You're supposed to clap now. tell us about, your upbringing. Well, it was a terrible upbringing, but I made it. I did it. I. So thank you. Thank you. I. Oh, man. And if that's what you live for, that's very hollow. Oh, but very tempting. Right? That's why you should be aware of it. It's very tempting. Because when the crowds get big, and if what you're living for is the crowds, and by the way, Jesus saw the tens of thousands of people around him, but you know what else he saw? Don't miss this. Jesus saw the multitudes. But he saw the multitudes in the shadow of the cross. He knew where he was going. He knew that the Father's plan was not. He knew that the Father's plan was not some worldly, earthly success, which is really defeat. The crowd is buzzing, but Jesus sees the cross, and he lives in the shadow of the cross. And he knows that when things get difficult, the crowds are gone. They were only there for what they could get and not who they could get. Jesus was able to endure the cross. Don't miss this, because he could even see past the crowds, past the cross. He could see to the consummation. He could see that after the cross, there would be a resurrection. And after the resurrection, there would be an ascension. And after the ascension, there would be a second coming of his. And after the second coming, there would be a consummation. And there'd be people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And they would be worshiping him and the Father and the Spirit. And there would be a new heavens and a new earth. And Jesus could see all of that by faith, because he had vision. And most people don't have vision. If they have vision, it's a vision for their own success. And you could write a book about that. You could call it Vision for Your Own Life. And boy, you could probably sell 1 million copies and be on the New York Times bestseller if you're articulate enough. And the vision is just about you getting what you wanted from when you were 8 years old. Until your vision is consumed by God's vision, and you begin to see crowds and words and life and everything through that lens, and know, Christian, that you too will have a cross that you take up daily and follow him, but you see past the cross to the consummation, when you know that you'll be rewarded and there's eternal joy, and your sufferings are light and momentary. But the danger is, and Jesus warns them, is to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, because what the Pharisees wanted was the crowds. That's just what they wanted. They wanted the honor and the recognition and the fame of the crowds. And Jesus says, don't let that happen to you. And here's how it happens. You ready? An individual, Sam the scribe, he gets an inkling of recognition and acknowledgement. Maybe he gets a new position. We'll say he gets a position in the church. And he gets that position, and he thinks, maybe I am something. Or maybe he gets to speak one time, or he gets to pray one time, or he gets to do something where there's recognition. Or maybe he gets straight A's on his report card. Or maybe she gets recognition for her singing ability, or maybe just something like that. And there's just an inkling of I could play this part and be dishonest about who I really am. And I can act holier than I really am. And that might even get me farther. Or I could take the long path of real transformation. I could really be transformed by the renewing of my mind and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's going to be an oak tree kind of transformation, not a little pop-up overnight thing. But instead of taking the route of oak tree transformation, you succumb to the leaven of the Pharisees and you just put on a mask. And you're not really holy, which you ought to be. You're not really holy, but you pretend to be holy. You're not really righteous and growing in righteousness, but you pretend that. And so you're like this young lady. She wakes up in the morning, and she's like, which mask am I going to wear today? And when she's in high school and she's around her friends, she's like wearing that mask. And she just lives that life. And then she goes to church, and she lives that life with the youth group. And then she goes over here to this group, and she just puts that mask on. And Jesus would say, beware of inauthenticity. Beware of deceit. Oh, so you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian, like everyone else in my culture. I'm a Christian. It would be better for you to be honest than to lie, because what happens with one lie is one piece of leaven. And you need to be aware of leaven. It'd be better for you to say, I'm not a Christian yet. I'm learning. I'm praying. I want to. If it's true, I'm just still working on that. It would be better for you to be honest with God about where you are and with other people and stop putting the mask. You know the worst kind of hypocrisy? Listen to me. The worst kind of hypocrisy is this kind. This guy. That's the worst kind. You realize that, right? This is why Jesus was so righteously angry with the scribes and the Pharisees, because the worst kind of hypocrisy wears a religious mask. Well, what happens is you begin to wear the religious mask and you deceive other people. And over time, what happens is you begin to deceive yourself. And so other people think this about you, and you begin to think it about yourself. And you get so deceived from knowing the truth, from knowing Christ. And by the way, this is a great danger in a Christian home where there's pressure, or a Christian school where there's pressure, or a Christian culture where there's pressure just to conform and just to pretend. And you start pretending and you start thinking, well, maybe I am a Christian. But your life is nowhere near following Christ. But your profession is. And what's dangerous about that leaven that begins to come in and you begin to act your role, and maybe you even get an Oscar and people think you're a really good Christian, and you get that Oscar, and then it begins to expand, because that's what leaven does. It expands. And so your ego, your pride expands, and boy, it's just a matter of time for it's just a matter of time. This is why the warning is don't lay hands too quickly on an elder, a pastor. Because if he's a new convert or he's not mature enough, he'll fall into the condemnation of the devil. Oh, but if somebody just pops you and they look like it, we'll appoint them. Oh, there's a warning for that, right? Because when you get in that role, oh, maybe I am something. And so beware of the leaven. It starts small. We could talk about other things, right? You think lying to your parents, one small lie? Listen to me, kids, teenagers. You think one small lie? Oh, who are you talking to on the phone? Oh, it was just Sarah. I say Sarah. I'm not talking about you, Sarah, but just it was just Sarah. It was Sarah. When really it was Robbie. And the stuff you were saying with Robbie wasn't good. Or just beware, because leaven, it starts small, and over time it just builds. And I'm telling you, the leaven will take you somewhere you do not want to go. It will take you somewhere you don't want to go. And Jesus comes in and he says, I have better plans for you. I have a better future for you. I have a better life for you. Come to me. Listen to me. Live in the light. Live in the truth. You know why? Because everything you do in darkness will eventually be exposed by the light. Everything. Everything you whisper with someone else will be shouted from the rooftops, Jesus says. Oh, you might get by with it if you're really slick for a long time in this life. And you might be able to deceive a lot of people. Oh, but in the courtroom of heaven, when you stand before the Almighty, the game is over. So listen to me. If you're playing a game, give up the game now. The beauty is, God wants you to give up the game, because in giving up the game, you surrender and you say, I am guilty. Now, by the way, we are all guilty of hypocrisy to some degree or another. Let me refute this false teaching that keeps coming up. You see it everywhere. Listen, all sins are not equal. All sins are not equal. Now, all sins are equally condemnable by a holy God, for sure. But there are varying degrees of sin. Suppose in this room, if my hypocrisy odometer was to be read, suppose this morning that I'm a hypocrite to a seventh degree on a scale of 10. Well, there might be some who are a 5 in terms of hypocrisy. There's some who might, by the grace of God, be a 2. And the goal in the Christian life is to know God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to mature and grow from a 7 to a 4. That's sanctification. And when you're growing, truly growing in holiness and righteousness, and not just the mask, but truly on the heart level growing, you will stop sinning as much. You will never completely stop sinning, but you will become more righteous actually and more holy actually. And that's a process in your life. And so the reality is, I know this, everyone in this room, all of us, have hypocrisy to some degree. If you didn't, you would be perfectly sincere, perfectly genuine, perfectly loving, perfectly holy. And we're not. Now, there are some who are more sincere and more genuine than others, and that's why Jesus' warning applies to us all. Beware of the horrors of hypocrisy. And so where is it in us? Where are we on that scale? Think with me of Romans chapter 12. You ready? Romans chapter 12, it's on your outline. Romans 12 comes after the first 11 chapters where Paul gives the gospel for hypocrites and all others. And in Romans chapter 12, he says this, listen, Christian, let your love be genuine. That's the opposite of hypocrisy, genuine, real, authentic. So don't just pretend like you love people. Don't just say it, genuine, God. Help me, by the power of the gospel, by the power of your Spirit, to have genuine love for you and genuine love for people. And I want my love for you to grow. I mean, I love you today. I love you today, but I want to love you more tomorrow. Lord, I love people today, but I want to love people more tomorrow. And now I'm growing on the hypocrisy scale, right? I'm becoming less hypocritical and more sincere and genuine. And I want that, and I pray that, don't you? Let love be genuine. Abhor, hate what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. And they go together. There are some things that you should hate. Some people say, we shouldn't hate anything. You should hate what is evil. And when you do, you'll begin to love what is good to a greater degree. Remember, there are always degrees. There are always degrees. And by the way, we've talked about this in weeks past, in months past. This is why there are varying degrees of reward in heaven and varying degrees of punishment in hell. Just think about it. You've also got James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and, circle this word, sincere. Sincerity genuineness. This is what should mark our lives and hearts. Think with me about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. The command is, put away, Christian, all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Put these things away. You know why? Because on the day of judgment, it's all going to be exposed. It's all going to be exposed. And if you're in Christ, if you're a believer, then it's going to be exposed. And you're going to be forgiven by the grace of God and by the power of the cross. And you're going to receive a reward. And that reward will vary depending upon your faithfulness to what God has given you. And he's a just judge and he's righteous. And he knows everything that I don't. And he's perfect in his assessment of things. On the day of judgment, those who are apart from Jesus, who are apart from Christ, they'll stand before God. Every sin will be exposed. And since they don't have a Savior and a Lord, an advocate, a defense attorney, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire to varying degrees of punishment, depending upon how bad they were. And what Jesus is doing is saying the Pharisees are nines on the scale of 1 to 10. But they're religious, but they're nines. And maybe the prostitute was a six, because at least she knows who she is and what she's doing, which is a better place to be than to be deceived into thinking you're going to heaven, to thinking you know God, to thinking you've got the right religion, when in reality, you've been deceived. Beware of the horrors of hidden hypocrisy. Think with me of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. It's going to happen. Romans 2 verse 16. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men and women by Christ Jesus. It's going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, here, take this message, okay? Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I mean, here's the reality. You and I can't know, in an ultimate sense, people's hearts. We can't. Go read 1 Corinthians 4 this afternoon. You can't even know your own heart in an ultimate sense. And so, there are some things that are clear and explicit that you are to make wise judgments about, to be discerning about, to be thoughtful about. There are other things that Paul says, I don't even judge myself. I mean, but I know this, that one day I'm going to stand before God, and that's what you ought to have in your mind. And you ought to do this. Here's what you ought to do. God, I want to be sincere and genuine and real. Now, I know my only hope is you, Jesus. So I'm trusting in you. I'm clinging to you and I'm resting in you. And I'm going to stop wearing masks and pretending. And before you, I'm going to be real. Now, you better be careful who you're real about out here. I'm not talking about just getting up on a stage and saying, yep, I this and I that. No way. No way. Because not everybody can handle things. In fact, find people, if you feel like you need to, maybe this week after hearing this, find someone who you think will respond to you like God would respond to you. And let me just tell you how God would respond. If you're honest and you're sincere and you want to be in the light and you tell the right person that, here's what they'll do. They won't hit you, okay? They will love you. And they will say, You know, the Lord died for that sin. You know, the Lord died for that sin. And I can just tell that you hate it and you're wanting to get past it. And so let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your mercy for this person. Thank you for your mercy, kindness. I forgive them. And if it's personal, I forgive them. And Lord, I know that you forgive them. Thank you, Jesus, for your finished work. And guess what? After that, it's done. Because the Lord removes our sins as far as from the east as from the west. And so the right person will not bring it back up to you. And by the way, if you're that person that keeps bringing things back up to others, stop. We're all sinners to some degree or another, and we all need mercy and grace. And we find it in Jesus. We find it in Jesus. All other religions are bankrupt because they all say, you do it. You can never do it. Jesus has come to do it for you, which is where I'm going to close. You ready? Some of you are thinking, I'm glad he's done. I'm done. You ready? Here's where I'm closing. There's only one who was without leaven. There's only one who was without leaven. You know who it is, right? Here's the Sunday school answer. Jesus. This is why in John chapter 6, he could say, I am the bread of life. And guess what kind of bread he's talking about? Unleavened bread. How do you know? Exodus chapter 12, when they took the blood of the Passover lamb, it had to be a spotless lamb, and they put the blood and put it over their doorposts. This was also not only called the Feast of Passover, it was also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so they would have unleavened bread. You got to know your Bible if you want to go deeper. They had unleavened bread, and that unleavened bread was not about bread without yeast. So you can eat it this afternoon if you want to, for the glory of God. The unleavened bread was about the spotless, sinless, perfect, sincere, loving Jesus Christ who was to come, who was without hypocrisy. And if he says, I love you, he means it. And if he says, I forgive you, he forgives you. And if he says, you're mine, you are his, and nothing can take you from the grip of his grace. No lies, no deceit, no matter what anybody else says or does to you, even if they won't forgive you, he will. You can't lose your salvation because you didn't acquire it yourself anyway. And once he's got you, he's not going to let you go. Your spouse might leave you. Your friends might forsake you. Those hypocrites who are religious, they might abandon you, but he never will. Why? Because when Jesus was on the cross, God the Father abandoned his Son. When his Son took upon your sin. And if Jesus took the abandonment for you, you will never be abandoned by the Father. Because Christ paid the penalty in your place. And in the resurrection, in a dark tomb, when the secrets of men and their plottings, and by the way, their vain plottings against Jesus. Remember in the end? We'll be there in, I don't know, a year. You get to the end of the story. I said I would finish a few minutes ago, but this is too good. You get to the end of the story, and what happens? Well, they're setting Jesus up the whole time. They send in false accusers, false, representatives, and they try to persuade Pilate and persuade Herod into killing him. And guess what? Eventually they do. And not just them, but the whole crowd is there, probably some of the tens of thousands that were there initially because of their interest, but it was a surface interest. They're all there, and what do? They kill the unleavened one because they believe the lies of the hypocrites. What an anomaly. And they crucify him. Oh, but their whispers and their deception and the lies of Judas, the betrayer himself, which I'm going to keep preaching. I feel it. When Judas comes on the scene, Judas could play the part like nobody else. Rabbi, what do you need? I got the money back. We're going to put the money here? Okay. He had all 11 disciples fooled. All 11. He didn't have Jesus fooled. And Jesus still loved him. Washed his feet in the upper room, John 13. Still loved him. Kept giving him chance after chance after chance. But watch this. The end of your Academy Awards, the end of it, when I doesn't satisfy you and I can't save you, you'll either die in your sin or you'll kill yourself. And so Judas is the example. But regardless of his secrets, regardless of his deception, the dark tomb could not hold the light of the world. And so my question for you this morning in closing is this. Is your faith in Jesus sincere? If not, get real today. Do you feel it in your conscience? You should. Confess the hypocrisies that he exposes and be real with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the canon of Scripture. Father, we thank you for Christ, the perfect, spotless, unleavened bread of life. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that does in our hearts, beneath the surface, what we could never do on our own. And so, Lord, if there's someone in this room who is living a lie in any way, free them to be honest with you, honest even with themselves, and honest with other people that they've sinned against. And Lord, help us to be the kind of people who will love and forgive and show grace and mercy. Lord, as your people, I pray that we would grow from one degree of glory to another. We confess that none of us is perfectly loving. And so take us to another degree, Lord. Remove hypocrisy. Remove insincerity. Remove deceit. So that we might bring you the greatest glory possible in our lives. And Lord, we trust that the reward in heaven will be great. So give us grace to walk by faith and not by sight. Would you stand with me? If you're not a Christian and this morning you want to be one, then please talk to me or Butch or Eric or one of the other elders. Don't leave today. Don't leave today. If the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Turn from your sin and hypocrisy and trust in Him. If you're a believer, rest in Jesus' finished work and grow by His grace. Even in this moment, sing, sing, and in singing, grow. Lord, grow us, change us, transform us, we pray.